The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go. Use the rewind feature. Download that Odyssey app if you haven't already. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Friday morning, November 22nd, 2024. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday.
Good morning. And Eric Bickle.
Hey, good morning.
Chase and Bishop, of course, off. All the way until December 2nd, he sent a text. I tweeted it out. You can follow me at Junks Radio. He sent the text of his thermostat. I didn't ask for it. Mm-hmm. He was like, look at what my room is at. 60 degrees.
That's crazy. It's just crazy. I mean, that's miserable. That's torture. But he likes it, I guess.
Football Friday, we'll be talking a lot about the Commanders on the show today. Commanders, of course, trying to get back on the winning track, set up to do so because they play a Cowboys team that has been reeling. Cowboys team that is with their backup quarterback, Cooper Rush, no Dak Prescott. Cowboys team that's lost five in a row. So we'll talk about that. But maybe last night's game scares you a little bit as it pertains to Washington, because the Steelers were coming off a win against the Ravens. Had a game on the road against the Browns, who were 2-8.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers were 8-2, but a division game. Teams know each other. Game was in the snow, at least for a large portion of the game. And the Browns had a lead. Steelers came back to take the lead. And then with about 3 minutes left, Jameis Winston led them on a game-winning drive.
Yeah, Nick Chubb, you know, basically little more than a year after he shreds his knee on national TV, finds the end zone twice. A good story for him. I mean, he hasn't had the best comeback year at this point. I think he had 20 carries for 59 last night, but hey, two critical touchdowns. It was just enough to beat the Steelers, and that now kind of throws the door open for the Ravens, who have a big one against the Chargers. I believe that's a Monday Night Football game. Valdez, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, that's a bad loss for the Steelers with the Ravens gaining ground behind them if they can get a win over the Chargers.
But maybe it worries Commanders fans because it's a similar setup that Washington has. Now, Washington's at home, but Pittsburgh, big favorite against Cleveland, a team that is going nowhere, that has a head coach who's on the hot seat, that has a backup quarterback in Jameis Winston. And credit Jameis Winston, because in that fourth quarter, he fumbled the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He threw a bad interception, but then he gets the ball back after Russell Wilson had looked to have a game-winning drive, and Jameis made some plays, made some nice throws. I thought it was an interesting decision. I don't know if you were up watching the game. So there was a point where it was third and two. The Cleveland Browns were already in field goal position, but it's snowing. So it would have been roughly a 40-yard field goal, I would say. And there was a 5-yard penalty. And it took a long time. I don't know what was going on. It took a long time. And then Tomlin opted to enforce the penalty. I think he wanted to push the field goal kicker further back. So it's third and seven now instead of fourth and two.
Mm-hmm.
Could have taken fourth and two. Opted to push it to third and seven. And then Jameis made a nice throw first down.
Yeah.
And then they moved down and scored.
It's always a risk. But I don't hate the logic.
Well, my argument there as far as like relating that to the Commanders, Jameis Winston's much more talented than Cooper Rush could ever dream of being. He's a former number one overall pick. He's had his ups and downs. I mean, now he's like a high-level backup and a guy you can lean on as a starter when your starter goes down. I think Jameis Winston is infinitely more talented than Cooper Rush. Cooper Rush doesn't scare me at all.
He might be, but as Joe Witt said in his press conference yesterday, he coached with Cooper Rush, and he knows that he can play winning football. And as JP said, I think he's 5-2 as a starter.
I think he can play winning football if he has a really stout top 10, top 5-ish defense to complement him. That's not the case at this point. If you're relying on Cooper Rush to carry you with a bad defense, I think that's going to wind up with a lot
Micah.
Of L's.
Listen, I hope we win. I'm picking us to win, but I'm nervous. I don't think it's going to be easy, the game that you think it's going to be.
I mean, I don't see like a 20-point blowout, but I think this is a team that the Commanders, they should handle by 7 or 8 points.
They should. Let's hope.
I mean, that's kind of the way I see it playing out.
I watched Kingsbury's presser, too. And, I mean, it clearly, Jaden had a different practice routine these last 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt. And, you know, he didn't want to go into it, but they're back to a normal routine, which, you know, he thinks that it should help the offense all the way around.
Right.
Getting their reps in, working on their timing, getting their footwork down. Clearly, these last 3 or 4 weeks, they've been nursing him and limiting him in practice.
I feel like this is a game where Jaden could break a big one. Like a 35 or 40 yard run. I feel like that's just kind of doing push ups over in the corner.
He hasn't done anything with his legs the last few weeks, so it'd be nice to see.
One. I think they'll establish a solid running attack with both Eckler and Robinson early. They'll get them to bite on the RPO, and then he'll be around one of the edges for a big one.
The good news is the offensive line is back. They're intact. All of the running backs are back. They're intact. I believe the receiving core, right? We don't have anybody that's out there. I mean, offensively, we're pretty well intact. So it's time to get back to doing what you're doing. They asked Cliff about, this notion of a second half swoon.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at least feigning some ignorance of it. He was like, well, you'd have to show me what years you're talking about. I don't even know. He goes, we're not going to change anything. We're just going to do what we do. We're not going to run triple option. So we'll see. See if he can bust that narrative wide open.
He pled ignorance.
Performance. Somewhat.
I watched a little of it.
Somewhat. He was just like, I don't know.
He's so understated.
About. Yeah.
The way that he talks. He's got a really deep voice.
He's a really chill dude. I think
the game plan is pretty simple. The Cowboys give up 152 yards per game on the ground.
Just go back and watch.
Joe Mixon had a field day against the Dallas Cowboys defense, mostly untouched. Like that first long touchdown that he ran, I think it was the first one. He's not even touched on that. I saw a stat from ESPN Stats and Info about how many times he ran without contact.
Mm-hmm.
It was absurd. So I think you run right at him. And then you run right at them some more, and then you do it again.
Like if the Commanders don't come out of this game with 145, 150-ish rushing yards, I would consider that a disappointment. Like that should be what the box score from the rushing side looks like.
I don't care where it comes from. I just want points. I want to drive, get points.
Mm-hmm.
Drive, get points.
So last night's game made me change my opinion. I know I put up something at Junks Radio on Twitter about, do you need style points? Do you need to win convincingly, especially coming off the last two? And I think I would have thought, yes, if you kind of won win convincingly, so you feel better about it, right? But then you see the Steelers lose. Man, you just want to win.
But that was a little bit different because the adverse weather conditions played a role. They're on the road. Like, this is a home game. Commanders have had extra rest because they played on Thursday.
So do you need style points? You need them to win convincingly.
The offense needs to look efficient, and I've said it probably 10 times. Score 28-ish points. Like, you can't limp in against the Cowboys and try to win a 17-13 squeaker. That's good if you get the win, but you're going to have serious reservations and questions about the offense through the rest of the season if they can't put up points against this wounded Dallas defense.
Well, obviously, one point of emphasis, and Cliff talked about it in his presser, they have to get the ball to Terry a lot earlier.
Absolutely.
A lot more often. And as Witt said in his presser, defensively, you still have to account for Micah Parsons. Cliff even mentioned it, too. He's one of a handful of game wreckers who can single-handedly wreck a game, wreck an offense. And they got to stop the run on defense. You know, they can do it for three quarters of a game, but you got to do it through four quarters.
Yeah, I mean,
the Cowboys can't run the football, though.
If Rico Dowdle comes in and has 75 yards and a touchdown at halftime, and it's a ball game, then you're going to be worried about the outcome. But I just don't see him posing that sort of threat.
Yeah,
even against a subpar rushing defense.
I'm bringing it back to last night's game, I get what you're saying, Case. It makes sense. On paper, Washington should roll. That's why they're a big favorite. That was the case for last night's game. And if you look at last night's game, I don't believe the Pittsburgh Steelers punted one time. So they actually should have won the game pretty convincingly based on the fact.
They punted once.
Oh, they did end up having. Yeah, that's right. It was right at the end of the game. At the end of in the fourth quarter, they had a punt.
They attempted three field goals and punted once.
Right. But sometimes things happen. You know, turnovers. I feel like the Steelers and they came back to take the lead. And once they take that lead, you're like, okay.
Well, they are also facing maybe the best defensive player in football when he's on in Myles Garrett, who completely wrecked the game for the Steelers with three sacks, three tackles for loss. I mean, he was playing like a demon. He hit Russell Wilson three times. Like, he made a huge impact in the game.
Yeah, but not in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, when the Cleveland Browns took a big lead, I think it was 18-6, then the Steelers stormed back. So when you only have one punt in the game, when you outgain your opponent 368-304, you usually win the game. My point is, it's a reminder that division games can be tighter. And in this case, a team that was 8-2 lost to a team that was 2-8.
Oh, I totally agree with you. Totally agree.
So it changed my opinion on style points versus just get a win. Like, the Steelers, I'm sure Steelers fans were like, man, we're rolling. We just beat the Ravens. Let's beat up on the Browns. But now you just take a dub any way you can get it.
I need style points. I mean, a win is nice. The win is the priority one. Priority one is the win.
Mm-hmm.
You'll take it if it's 4-2, if there's a bunch of safeties. And I can love it, but if this offense is what we thought it was early in the season, and Jaden's back to 100%, I want to see 28-35 points put up at home.
If you want to feel really good,
a defense that's giving up that amount in their current losing streak.
If you want to feel like you are serious contenders in the NFC and that you have a chance to do more than just show up in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't see an offense that sputters, that punts a bunch of times and settles for Austin Seibert or Zane Gonzalez field goals.
I don't want to do another week of evaluating Jaden and everybody hyping up.
Because there's going to be a lot
Bo
of
Nix.
Yeah. If he has a subpar game, if he throws for 140 and throws a pick,
I'm going to hear
rushes for 20 yards.
How great Bo Nix and Drake May are.
Yeah, you're going to definitely start hearing that drum beat.
Right.
Yeah.
Which,
so
you know, I think they're fine, but
that's another reason why we need a big offensive performance.
I can't do it.
And you know what? It doesn't even have to be Jaden with gaudy passing numbers. Just be crisp in leading the offense. If B-Rob plunges in twice for a touchdown, if Eckler scores a touchdown, and that's how you're racking up the points, it's fine.
Right.
Just keep the drive going.
He's not been a gaudy quarterback number guy anyway all season. The only time he had kind of big numbers was when he had the Hail Mary against the Bears.
Yeah. But I do agree. Terry has to be a
Terry's got to be involved.
Huge part of the game plan from the outset.
He's just a huge emotional lift.
Can't wait until the third or fourth quarter to be like, oh, let's get our best wide receiver the ball finally.
Right.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We'll be talking about it throughout the show on a Football Friday here on The Fan. Right now, going to hook up caller number 10 with two tickets to go see Rod Stewart, One Last Time Tour, Saturday, July 19th at Merriweather Post Pavilion. You've won tickets before, you can buy them. Tickets are on sale this Friday, November 22nd. That's today at 10 a.m. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com/events. Just be caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Later in the program, we got John Feinstein for Friday's Feinstein. He jumps on at 8. Scott Abraham from ABC7 joins us at 9. And we have our touchdown parlay at 7:45, all right here on the Junkies.